This is the 15th of March. The program is by Russell Long, who is president of the associate degree class.
Thank you. As we seek a place to stand in the kingdom of God, and we call ourselves to worship in this hour, let me share with you, for our call to worship today, a few verses from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, reading verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Our Father, you have called us to worship you. Lord, you speak to our hearts as no other can. Lord, you loved us that while we were yet lost and undone, you loved us enough to reach out and convict our hearts of sin, that we might see our lostness, that we also might see the joy and experience the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we have met to worship you. Help us now, O Lord, to consecrate ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to that cause. For there is no other like you, O God. It is you who created us and sustains us and loves us more than we do ourselves. So bless us, O Lord, in this hour, that we might experience a revival in our hearts, that we might feel your presence near us, that we might find strength to be a witness as a community, but also as individuals, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest message ever heard or ever told. Bless us now, O Lord, as we continue this worship hour, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On behalf of the ADIV class, let me express to all of you and to the seminary and chapel committee our gratitude for the opportunity to participate in this chapel service. And we thank God for the opportunity, and may it be done in such a way as to honor him. Our hymn number is number 159, an old favorite of so many. So let us open our hymns to hymn 159 and stand and sing with joy and enthusiasm, for there is power in the blood.
The Old Testament scripture for this morning is found in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind. even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Now reading from Psalms 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The New Testament scripture is Luke 16, 19 through 31. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. And may God bless the hearing of his word.
Let us pray together. Lord, we love you so much today, and Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for salvation. And Lord, we're excited, Father, to know you as Lord and Savior of our life. And Lord, if we gather here today in your house, Father, we just pray for outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, upon our life. Father, so we can leave here today and be an effective witness for you. Lord, let our hearts be open to every person that we come in contact with. And Lord, let your Spirit speak through us and draw people to you, Lord. Father, we pray today that, Lord, we will all leave here filled with the Spirit because of the word that's going to be sung, because of the preaching of the word, because of the word that's been read, Father. Lord, we love you so much. And Father, we just want to exalt you today and lift you up high above all men. And Father, we thank you for that drawing power, Lord. Lord, let us ever lean upon you, Father. Today, Lord, we pray for the brother that comes to sing, Lord, that you would just fill him with your sweet Holy Spirit. That, Lord, when he sings, Lord, the songs will fall upon our hearts and fall heavy, Lord. And Father, we can be cleansed today through the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, and we pray for our brother as he comes to bring the message, Lord, that you would empower him from on high, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, that you will hide him behind the cross. That, Lord, when we see him and hear him speak, Lord, that, Father, we will see you, Lord, in the midst of every word that he says. Lord, every word that he mentions this morning, we pray that your blood would just seep from word to word, Lord. And Father, that it would truly fill us for service unto the kingdom of your God, of our God, Father. Lord, we love you so much for what you're doing here in this campus. Lord, let us ever just reach forward, Lord, to serve you in a great capacity. Lord, don't ever let us get satisfied with where we are. Lord, just let us reach out into the deep, Father. Let us press on, Father. And we love you so much for what you're going to do here today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my
It is well with my soul. My life hasn't been the same since July the 29th, 1975. My life has been radically changed as a result of that pivotal point in my life. You know, I've often observed Christian worship as a very solemn time But you know, sometimes I feel like David. I just want to leap and dance. I just want to do the radical things in life for Christ, because he's changed my life that much. Now I pray that this won't offend you, but it offended many in the days of David when he saw the ark of the Lord coming into the city, Jerusalem. He danced. He leapt for joy. He praised God, and some thought that he had lost his mind. Already I feel like I have been at a sporting event. The perspiration rolls. We sit in a clammy atmosphere. So I was thinking, as we were going through our order of worship and praising God through the word and through song and through prayer, that I think the best thing I can do for the Lord this morning is just cheer for him. I'd like for all of you to just stand right now. I want to lead you in a cheer. We've got too much going on in the world that puts Christ down. We got too much of the academic that puts Christ down. Join with me this morning as we cheer for the Lord. Maybe you have never done this before in your life, but I have. And I've seen the result on the faces of many of you who have joined with me. Give me a J.
J.
Give me a E.
E.
Give me a S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me a S.
S.
What does it spell?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Who came for you?
Jesus.
Who died for you?
Jesus.
Who's coming again for you?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Be seated. Do you believe that? A few years ago when I was a child, are you listening? A few years ago when I was a child, there was a game that adults used to play with me. An adult would take a coin, a quarter, a nickel, a dime, and he would play a little guessing game with me. He'd take and put that coin in the palm of his hand, and he'd close it. And then he'd take his other hand, and he'd rub it over top of it and swish them all around like this. And then he would extend both of those fists to me. And he said, make a decision. Make a choice. If you guess right, you can have the coin. Well, I knew exactly which hand he had put it in, the one I saw him first place it in. So I would guess that hand, and he would turn it over, and it wouldn't be there. And he said, are you sure that it is now in this hand? Ah, boy, I just knew it had to be in that hand. I said, yes, it's in that hand. And he would turn it over, and it would be empty. He would play this game with me over and over and over with the extended closed fists that I might make a choice. You see, I had two choices to make, the left or the right. After he saw that I had tired of this game, he would suddenly reach up behind my ear, and there would appear the coin. And oftentimes I would be rewarded the coin for my endurance, and for the choices that I had wrongly made. As we look at Jeremiah 17 this morning, I think we see two choices and one result. Let me read once again from the New International Version, verse 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. I had two choices, but there was only one result. Life today is full of choices, as it was in my childhood life. But when we consider all of the choices of life, I believe that we can boil them down to just two choices in life. There is a choice to trust in the Lord, and there is a choice to trust in man. In the choices of life, as God reveals them to us, there are no hidden agendas, no hidden coin. The Lord makes everything clear about the choices that we have. This is what the Lord says in verse 5 of Jeremiah, that if the choice is to trust in man, then you will be cursed. Putting your confidence or your dependence upon your strength in man has its limitations. Instead of trusting in the mighty power of Almighty God, we trust in the limitations of man. This is a cursed thing to do. When man decides to trust in his own devices, his heart turns away from the Lord. The Lord explains the games of life. He explains the difference between the two choices. He says that if we put our trust in man, there is a curse that goes along with it. Life will be like a bush, low to the ground, showing little growth over the years and bearing no fruit. Life will be like living in the wasteland, like living in the dryness of a desert. Life will be like living in a salt land where no one lives. When I think of salt land, I think of two places on earth: the Dead Sea and Death Valley. Both portray death. Nobody chooses to live there. Why then would man choose to live in the salt land if he knows in advance what it will be like? I'll tell you why. Because he does not believe in the Word of God. There were years of my life when I did not trust in God's Word. I chose to live in the strength of man, in the strength of myself. I went through the dry places of life. I tried to find joy and happiness in my own strength, through my own devices, and I failed miserably. If we put our trust in the Lord, he says, there is a blessing. Life will be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Life will be like a tall tree whose roots go deep into the source of life. Life will be like a tree spreading its green full leaves. Life will be sustained through the year of drought. Trusting in the Lord gives stability to life. Trusting in the Lord will relieve us of the worries of life. Does trusting in the Lord mean that there will be no more problems? That everything will be a bed of roses? That we will not have to suffer hardships? That we will prosper in everything? No, no, no. The true meaning of blessing is found in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the hungry, and those who thirst. No, blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. The Lord says that those who trust in him will bear fruit, even in the year of drought, even in the time of dryness. They will bear fruit for the glory of God. They will bear fruit for the benefit of others. They will bear fruit for their own account. Let me ask you a question. How do you know if a tree has life in it? First, we would look at the leaves. We would see what color they are. Greenness is the color of life. We would look at the fruit to see if there's fruit upon a tree. These would be indicators of life in that tree. Jesus approached the fig tree one day expecting to find figs, and there was none. There were none. It was the season for figs. There were plenty of green leaves, but no fruit. And he cursed that tree. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." And again he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." This is what the Lord says, that life and fruit are to be found in him. Those who are really trusting in the Lord show signs of life and evidence of fruit. There is no life in the desert and no fruit from the bush. Man has been deceived through doubt and disbelief, through deception and through devilish trickery. He has been led to believe that camping in the desert is better than a residence by the streams of life. The heart is deceitful and above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? We may think we know our hearts, but what they will do in the hour of temptation, we know not. Hezekiah did not know what his heart would do when he showed the temple treasures. Peter did not know what his heart would do when he denied Jesus. How much less can we know our hearts? Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life." The heart is the seat of feelings and volition. In the heart is found the true man. The outer life is but clothing and may be worn as a mask of man. The question, how can man attain a pure heart without offense toward God? This is what the Lord says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This is what the Lord says. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. And David, the man after God's own heart, asked God to create in him a pure heart. All mankind needs heart surgery. Radical surgery to remove the sin of his fallen nature. Only the surgical knife of the Holy Spirit can perform this operation. Heart specialists are performing all kinds of heart surgery. They are performing double bypass, triple bypass, quadruple bypass. Man has become very efficient at bypass surgery. But note that all of these operations bypass the heart. Only God has the surgical instrument that deals directly with the heart. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God has said through his prophet Ezekiel that he will give us a new heart and a new spirit, replacing the heart of stone that is deceitful and beyond human cure. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17. This is what the Lord says. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. What is the Lord seeing as he examines your hearts and minds today? Does he see a bush or does he see a tree? The choice is yours, but the result of it is God's. Stand with me. May the God of peace, love, and joy, the God of promise, the God of choice, be with you and fill you with his wisdom, guide you by his hand, walk with you through the valleys of life, and help you as you educate yourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.